In the name of Jesus, amen. Remember one evening when I took my son for ice cream? Oh, he likes ice cream. I like ice cream. At the end of the evening, though, as we were walking out, he says, "You know what I really wish you would do? What's that? Take me to see the Indianapolis Colts." I think my son had a hierarchy of desires. He'd trade that ice cream for a professional football game any day. We all have hierarchy of desires. One is implicit in this text, in a way. Jesus, miracle worker. I'll be right honest with you. I just got through with my early church class and I think they think I don't like miracles. It's not true. I love them. It's just that I have never been the recipient of one. But maybe I'm like my son too much. At least I'd like to think that he had overseen the real miracle. The real good. And that's that his father was there. What are our desires? It is interesting to see how this whole Matthean business goes. Miracle, miracle, miracle. And then what has to be a most remarkable proof text. All of this was to fulfill what Isaiah said, that he had borne our sicknesses. Right out of Isaiah 53. And you take a look at Isaiah 53, and it has nothing to do with miracles. It has to do with an ugly man. Don't get me wrong, I'm just referring to the Bible here. Uncomely in appearance. Wounded for transgressions. What is the connection between all these miracles and this uncomely Jew that Isaiah speaks about? Well, I think you have to read on in Matthew before you get it. At the beginning, for example, of chapter 9, when we are told that Jesus heals a paralytic and does so by saying to him, "Your sins are forgiven, take up your bed." And they complain and clamor, "This person's blaspheming. Who can forgive but God?" Isn't it interesting that that question didn't come into their mind when he healed that, or said that he was going to heal that paralytic? Only when he said, "Take up your, I forgive you your sins," do they have a problem. And Jesus then says, "Well, what do you think is more difficult? To forgive sins or to heal this paralytic?" You know what they were thinking, don't you? A lot harder to get this guy on the mat, walking on his legs, real hard. So hard that we certainly can't do it. It's easy to forgive sins. Hard to make a person walk. Not so, says Jesus. In order that you might know that it is more difficult to forgive sins, I say to this man, get up, go your way, your sins are forgiven. There's a hierarchy, and the forgiveness of sins holds the trump. And it's there that we know God. When I say I've never received a miracle, it is absolutely false. I receive this miracle whenever the pastor declares my sins forgiven, when I eat and drink for the forgiveness of sins, and when, as infant in my case at least, plunged into the forgiveness of sins through baptism. That's miracle. As visible and audible as they come. And it happens repeatedly. Jesus, I think, in his miracles, that's the way I think, was in fact leading them back to that which finally defeats that death and decay that causes miracle even to be wanted and hoped for. He uses his miracles to lead them to the Isaianic text about his cross, the uncomely one. Bleeding, dying, forlorn Jew, hung, nailed, pierced, drug, buried. For you. Do you see miracle in that? May God grant that we do. Because that's where God's for us. I receive that. I have never received another kind of miracle. Maybe I will. But I'm not waiting for it. But I go to church for the other. Don't you? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.